Okay, we're going to start back here now, and we're in verse 15 now. Let's look at verse 15 of Revelation chapter 3. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. In other words, Jesus is saying here, you're not cold or hot, and that's going to go back to the reference about the water system here. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But here's what's going on. These people were lukewarm. If you're not cold and you're not hot, you're lukewarm. Nobody wants to take a bath in lukewarm water, do you? I like something hot. I got to get some germs killed, amen. I can't get in some cold water and expect to get anything done, amen. But anyhow, these people were neither cold nor hot. These people at this church were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. You know, what a powerful, sobering truth this is. Jesus knew their deeds. He knew their work. And guess what? He knows our deeds and He knows our work. That's scary to me when I think about it. Jesus knows who we really are. The problem is, we don't know who we really are a lot of times. We're living a life and we're thinking we're something and we're really not. And we're a church that is going through the motions. Some churches are just going through the motions. They're not who they think they are. But Jesus is letting these people know, hey, you're neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. You're lukewarm. And then we move on and look at this right here. First of all, this is probably one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible here. And sometimes this passage is a little bit misquoted here. I want you to understand that when he's talking about you're neither hot nor cold, he's not talking about either be on fire for me or don't be on fire for me. What he's talking about, it kind of goes back to the water here in Laodicea. The water was lukewarm. He's saying, I wish you would either be like a warm spring that brings soothing comfort or like a cool spring that brings comfort for your thirst. Be something positive. That's what Jesus was saying here. You're neither. You're just there. You're just existing. But you're just there. What does lukewarm mean? Let's talk about that for just a second. By definition, lukewarm means lacking warmth of feeling or enthusiasm. Lacking warmth of feeling or enthusiasm. To a Christian, and in reference to a Christian, it means indifference, complacency, just getting in a comfort zone and not coming out of it. That's what Jesus was talking about here in reference to this church. You know, you've been to churches like this probably. These are the kind of churches that just gather to worship and go through the motions. They sing songs. They don't mean anything. They come and pray. They don't mean anything. The preacher just rambles on about something. No real meat for anybody to draw off of. And guys, it's happening every Sunday. There are countless numbers of churches that if Jesus showed up right then, he would tell them the same thing that he's telling the church at Laodicea. He would tell them the same thing. He would tell them the same thing. You see, Jesus wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to put him at the front of our lives. He wants us to have him number one in our lives. Anything less than that, and according to his word, we're lukewarm. We're lukewarm if we're not giving him all that we've got. Look at verse 16. It says here, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let me translate that for you, because the word spew in the Greek literally is referring to vomit. What Jesus is saying here is, this church makes me want to vomit. This church makes me sick at my stomach. The lukewarmness here makes me sick at my stomach. Jesus is saying, people like this, churches like this, make me want to puke. That's a bad word, isn't it? And everybody knows what that means, amen. I don't even have to talk to you about that. You vomit. Let me be politically correct here. You throw up when you're what? You're sick. These people were sick. Jesus said, I'm getting rid of this sickness because I'm going to vomit you out because you're not doing anything. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes judgment time, there are going to be a lot of people that think they were somebody. in the kingdom. And you know what Jesus is going to say to them? He's going to look them square in the eye. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I am going to vomit you right out of existence because of your lukewarmness. Because of your lukewarmness, I am not going to have anything to do with you anymore. And that's going to be a sad day, because people are going to say, well, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, did I not heal the sick in your name? Did I not pray for all these people in your name? Jesus, if you are lukewarm, what you say and what you do means nothing to him. Does everybody understand that? Can I get a witness? Amen. He means that I do not care what you think you are unless you are who you say you are. I cannot use you. I can't use you. You're of no use to me. Jesus told these people, I will vomit you out. That's not me saying that. That's Jesus saying that. Is there anybody in here today that Jesus would say, I'm going to vomit you out because you're not doing anything for me? You say, well, preacher, those are some hard words. You know what? Jesus is saying some hard words to the church at Laodicea. And Jesus has called me to share what he has said to countless thousands and thousands and millions of people over the years. And I know these words are tough. But you know what? I want to see every person in this church in heaven someday. Amen. Amen. I want everybody in this church to realize who you are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, I want you to understand what Jesus expects of you. And hey, we'll fire this baptismal pool up. There may be some 60 and 70 year old people that need to be dipped down in the baptismal waters again. Amen. For real this time. Because that's what was happening at the church at Laodicea. They were fooling themselves. And Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll spew you out of my mouth. You aren't who you think you are. Unless you're on fire for me and unless you're doing the things that I've commanded you to do. We read God's word every day, but we go out in this world and we do exactly the opposite of what God's word tells us to. Now, I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking about some people. We read it, but it's not sinking in. That's what happened at the church at Laodicea. They went through the motions, but nothing sank in. Nothing sank in. Guys, a growing, thriving church that is alive. People are going to want to come to it. People are going to want to be a part of it. The people in the church are going to want to be a part of the ministries going on in the church. Everything about the church, people are going to want to be involved with. Amen. Amen. That's a thriving church. That's a growing church. Here's a dead church. Here's the Sunday morning of the dead church right here. Okay, it's time to go now. Thank the Lord he's a little shorter today. Amen. That's a dead church. People just come because, oh, it's Sunday. We're supposed to go to church. Don't even bother coming if you ain't coming for the right thing. If you're not coming with the right motives. If you're not coming to glorify our Savior. Amen. Because that's what our purpose is here on earth. To bring glory to Jesus. To love Jesus like he loves us. Guys, we don't understand Jesus' love for us really when it comes down to it, do we? We don't understand his love for us. He loves us so much, he died for us. We wouldn't do that for him. We wouldn't do that for anybody else. But he did it for us. He did it for these people at Laodicea. Now let's look at verse 17, and I'll be done here in just a couple of minutes. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know what Jesus was telling them here? You think you got all the answers, don't you? You think you don't need me anymore because you're rich. You got this beautiful city. You got this beautiful place. Everybody wants to come to Laodicea. You think you've got it all. But let me tell you something, brother. You're poor, you're blind, and you're naked as far as spirituality is concerned. That's what Jesus is telling them. I'm quite sure that church was elaborately built, had all the prettiest decorative artwork of that day outside, but inside that church was falling apart at the seams. And that's what's happening to a lot of churches in America today. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this expression, and please don't misunderstand me when I say this. Well, that's just a good old little country church. Bethesda Baptist Church is a church in the country, but it's not simply a country church. Amen? Amen. We are here to serve the risen Savior. We are here to reach out to a lost and dying world. We are here to honor and glorify Him. Amen. And that's our job. Amen. If we're here for any other reason than that, we're going through the motions. We're not here for the right reason. Can you tell God's impassioned this on me? He's really been hitting me hard with this. Because I don't want to get to heaven someday and look about and see many of our members not here. Many of my friends out in the community not here. Many of our FCA kids not here. Why? Because we thought we were something we weren't. Because we were lukewarm. Because we didn't do what we said we were going to do. You see, these people were so caught up in their riches and wealth and materialistic things that Jesus said, you don't have time for me. You think you got all the answers. You think you can solve everything with your wealth. Well, guess what? That's going to come to a screeching halt one day. That's going to end one day. And the only thing that's going to matter is what you did for me and that you accepted me as your Savior. The rest of it is as filthy rags in my sight. And that's what Jesus is going to say. So don't be concerned about living for this world. Don't be concerned about storing up everything you can here on this earth. The Bible says store up treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. We're storing up stuff that's going to go. It's going to disappear. When we're dead and gone, somebody else is going to take care of it for us. And that might be a scary thing, amen? But see, that's what these people were doing here. They were putting all of their effort and time and resources into something that wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to last. They were rich. Guys, I want to ask you something right here. I'm going to go over several little subtopics here real quick. And I think about these real often here. In the area of giving. I want to ask you something here, and I'm not here up here to beg for money. The church is doing okay. That's not why I'm asking and saying this. But let me ask you something. How much money, in proportion to what we give, how much money do we throw away every year on things that have no kingdom value? How much money do we throw away? How much do we invest in the lives of young people, in the lives of missionaries, in the life of the church, versus how much we throw away at events all over the place and food that we don't need to be eating to begin with. Amen. Golly, I'm going to be honest with you. I probably spend $2,000 or $3,000 a year on junk food and vending machines. Think about it. If I took that $2,000 or $3,000 and went out and invested it in the homeless people in Athens and the surrounding areas, I could help make their life be a whole lot better, couldn't I? I'm throwing away stuff. How are you in your giving compared to what you throw away versus what you invest? You see, kingdom investment will always bring a return, amen? It will always bring a return. But the things we invest in this world, they're only going to bring an earthly return that is temporal and will not last. It's not going to last. How about self-dependence? Can we get to the point in our lives that we have so much and are doing so well that we think we don't need God? Well, I don't need you, God. I got this. Oh, I got plenty of money. I can go, if I need this, I'll go buy this. If I need that, I'll go get that. How about in the area of thanksgiving? Can we get to the point we have so much and are doing so well that we forget to thank the source of all our blessings? I hope you start your day every day by saying, God, thank you for the food you blessed me with. Thank you for the clothing you've given me. Thank you for the shelter that is above my head. Thank you for the transportation I have. Thank you for the job I have. Because if you don't, then you are taking God for granted. Amen. You ought to get on your knees every day and thank Him for those things He's blessed you with. See, these people have forgotten about that. They weren't doing that. They may have been at the beginning, but they weren't doing it now. Can we get to the point where our priorities and God's priorities don't line up? You bet we can. And many people are there right now. Their priorities and God's priority for their life are not in line and in sync with each other. It's just not happening. And you see, that's a dangerous thing, folks. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I about pass out every Sunday up here because I am so adamant and so focused on what I want you guys to hear from Jesus that I almost just lose it up here sometimes. But it's because I love each and every person here that I want you to be the best you can be for Christ. Don't you want that? Do you want to just simply sit and go through the motions? Or do you want to be all that you can be? That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm trying to point out here. You see, Jesus knew the condition of that church at Laodicea. Not only were they wretched and miserable according to what Jesus said, he said they were poor, blind, and naked. You know what's so ironic about that? And I'm almost done here. You know what's so ironic about that? Those were the very things that Laodicea were known for. They were known for their wealth. They were known for this medicine that you could put in your eyes that would help you see better. They were known for their famous wool for clothing. But look at what Jesus said about them. You're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. He's like, I don't care how many riches you have because you're spiritually poor. You are spiritually poor. I don't care how much eye salve you've come up with and rubbed in people's eyes. You're as spiritually blind as anybody. He said, I don't care how many wool clothing items you have and have made out of wool. You are spiritually naked right now. That's what Jesus told them. The very things they were known for, he used against them and pointed out to them, you are these things because you're not spiritually sound. He pointed these things out to them. Is there a cure for this? You might say, well, preacher, it didn't sound like this church had any hope. Let me tell you something. In Jesus, there's always hope. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? In Jesus, there is always hope. There's always possibility. Can somebody tell me what our sign says out front? It's been up for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I want to see if y'all even read that thing. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. It says, faith does not make things easy. It makes them possible. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. This church was not going to have an easy way out of the situation they were in. But if they stopped and turned and put their faith in Jesus right then and there, then it would be possible for them to get back to being a church that pleased him. And that's the way it is. Let's look at verse 18, 19, and 20. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. In other words, what Jesus was saying, buy from me, quit investing in all of this foolish worldly stuff. You need to be investing in me. You need to be investing in me. Not in this eye salve that you're running around rubbing in people's eyes. You remember the old guy used to run around with the elixirs and selling all that. Oh man, this will cure arthritis. This will take everything you need. Wasn't nothing but just pure liquor they were giving you. And y'all were buying it by the drove, weren't you? Amen? No. But, you know, that's kind of what this stuff was like. That these people had this miracle cure for eye problems when they were spiritually blind themselves. Their salve was doing them no good spiritually. And that's what Jesus was pointing out to them here. Verse 19. Now here's always the way Jesus is. Jesus is always going to give you a way out. Isn't that great? Isn't it great that Jesus really doesn't do to us what we deserve? Because if he did to us what we deserved, we don't deserve to be here. We should have been wiped off the face of the earth thousands and thousands of years ago and never given another chance to mess up what he created. But he loves us more than that. He wants us to have another opportunity. He wants us to have what it is his word says he will give us if we'll just be obedient to him. Look at what verse 19 says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I want you to think about that verse for a minute. The first part of that verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What's Jesus saying here? It's because I love you that I am rebuking you now and I am getting on to you right now. That is because I love you. You know, people that don't love somebody, they're not going to take the time to try to correct them, are they? They're not going to take the time to say, you know what? You can be so much more. I have faith in you. I believe you can be all you can be if you'll just follow the concepts and the precepts that I've laid out here in my word. But you know what? We don't want to hear that a lot of times. But Jesus is always there to he's going to chasten us. He's going to rebuke us. That's what his word is for. You know what enough, what churches don't do enough of today? They don't use God's word to correct the members within the church. And that's what God's laying on my heart. Preach to you what Jesus expects of you and what he expects of me. And guys, I got to hold myself accountable. For everything I preach to you, I preach it to me first. And I have to search my heart and soul and say, Lord, you sure you want me to preach that? Because I'm guilty of that. And I have to get right with the Lord before I can bring these messages sometimes. But that's the way it is. And look at what he says here. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what zeal means? Zeal means having a passion for something. Being on fire for something. Be zealous. For who? For me. Jesus is saying this. And what did he end that verse by saying? And what? Say it loud. Repent. And repent. So you see, the key to revitalizing who you are in Christ is to repent. And to realize Jesus loves you so much that he's given us opportunity after opportunity. Jesus, because of his long suffering toward us, has not already come and raptured the church. Do you understand that? If Jesus had done what the Father wanted to do before, the church would already be raptured and some people would be in hell right now because they did not have another opportunity to get their life right. But Jesus loves us so much that he's still giving people a chance to repent. He's still giving us a chance to repent. And then the last verse says this, and I'm done. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know what a sad thing is? Jesus has to stand outside the door of the church and knock just so somebody will let him in. This verse can be used as a witnessing tool to say that, hey, Jesus is knocking at your heart. But you know what I think this means also? Jesus is knocking at the doors of churches all across this land saying, hey, you going to open up and let me back in? You're going to let me come back in where I can fellowship with you and teach you and rebuke you and help you become a better person? Or am I going to have to just keep standing out here knocking? Because I'm going to tell you this, guys. Until we open that door and we realize that God's word is for real, that what he says is for real, that what Jesus has said in these scriptures is for real, if a lukewarm church is in existence, Jesus has said, you make me sick, I want to just vomit you out. If you're a lukewarm Christian, and this is going to hit hard, it's going to hit hard. If you're a lukewarm Christian, Jesus is saying, I want to vomit you out. You know why? Because I gave all for you, and all I'm asking in return is that you honor and glorify me through my word. That's all he's asking. That's all he's asking for us to do. So you see, lukewarmness has no place in the life of a believer. You cannot be lukewarm and please God. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. You see, though they were blinded by their wealth, their love of material things, and their lukewarmness, Jesus still loved them and gave them an opportunity to repent. Jesus still loves each and every one of us, and he's still giving us an opportunity to repent and to get back in a right relationship with him. You know, the question is going to be this. Are we really interested in kingdom work here at Bethesda or any other church across this land for that matter? Are we really interested in investing in the kingdom or are we simply just going to be content to go through the motions? You know what? I'm going to love you regardless, but I'm going to keep trying to show you the right way. I hope you appreciate that. Amen. I'm going to keep trying to show you the right way and I'm going to always show it to you through what God's word says, not the gospel according to me. Because I have no gospel that's anything but filthy rags in the eyes of Jesus. Here's the word. The Bible also says this, and I'm going to end with this. The Bible says in the book of James, be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, that's what separates lukewarmness from people who are on fire for the Lord. Not only do they hear the word, they do the word. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here today. God, I pray that hearts and minds were touched and challenged. Lord, nothing I said here was from me because, Lord, you know last night I woke up and I was struggling with this sermon. Lord, I was like, you sure you want me to bring this? You want me to preach this? But God, you just took over and spoke through me, God. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you gave me the words to say because I didn't know what to say. God, I'm giving you all the credit for this. Lord, I'm thanking you so much. You sent your son to die for us, who has an unending love for us, who cares so much about us that he is willing to get on us and tell us like it is. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you'll help us search our hearts and minds today, Lord, and that some people will come, maybe even to know you for the first time today, Lord, but certainly to rededicate their lives and move in the right direction for you, Father. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
374.
374. Let's stand and sing hymn number 374.